The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
This is Jason Witter, author, illustrator of Tiny East Vampire and Monsters Eating Ice Cream, and you are listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
You are listening to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. We get to read fiction on the show and talk about some movies, books, you name it. If you like what I do here, please consider supporting the show at patreon.com/AaronFrail. You'll get some books and other cool stuff for your support. Go ahead and also reach out to me at aaronshorrorshow@gmail.com, Aaron Horror Show on Twitter, or Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. Okay, well, I got some fun stuff for you.
This is something that I'm watching, so
maybe you don't have to. Maybe you're totally going to. I'll let you be the judge of this, but it's going to be the Winx Saga, or Wink Saga, W-I-N-X. How do you pronounce that? I have no idea, but W-I-N-X Saga, and it's on Netflix. It's a show about fairies and magic and stuff. So yeah, go watch it, and I'll spoil it.
All right, you're back. Okay, well, this is a funny, show, because I feel that they Sabrina'd it. I'm now inventing a verb here, Sabrina'd it. If you have been listening to this podcast, you'll know that I, did a review on the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and, they took essentially what was this, kind of silly Nickelodeon show. I mean, I know it was something before the Nickelodeon show, but, the Nickelodeon Sabrina the Teenage Witch is what everyone thinks of when, at least before the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina came out. So anyways, they took, Sabrina and turned it into this really kind of dark adult series. And they Sabrina'd the Winx Saga, or the Winx Saga. I'm going to call it the Winx Saga because that sounds like better than the Winx. Like, Wink sounds like some, kind of lecherous dude, like, winking, like, hey, whereas, Winx sounds better, but, yeah, maybe somebody will correct me, but
you know, this is a Sabrina moment because I had no idea that this was the source material, but the source material for this show, which is, you know, it's kind of not quite The Magicians, you know, so The Magicians is this wonderful, really great show. It's the adult Harry Potter, basically, you know. So if you like Harry Potter, but you want something with more adult themes and crude humor and, you know, lots of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, The Magicians is your choice. Whereas the Winnick Saga has some darkness going on. It's not quite this, like, you know, happy-go-lucky thing, but its source material is like a kid show from Nickelodeon. That's right. So they took this kid show about fairies and turned it into a show about, you know, fairies going to school. And it sounds like it generally follows the same idea, that they go to this, like, boarding school for fairies. But, you know, being Netflix, it's a little bit darker than that, right? It's not like this, you know, happy-go-lucky. It's sort of like mages and wizards, but they all have their element, you know? So, you know, the main character, she's a fire fairy, so she has the ability to, you know, manipulate fire, and then her roommate is a water fairy, and an earth fairy, and a mind fairy, and then a light fairy, and you know, and you're probably, when I'm saying fairy, thinking of, like, you know, Tinkerbell with wings, and while that is the source material that they did take it from, were very much Tinkerbell wings type of characters. These are all just, you know, normal looking people. In fact, the only time wings happen is, you know, right at the end when the Fire Fairy realizes that she has this, like, epic power and starts, like, doing crazy stuff, and she sprouts wings of fire. So, you know, when they did fairy wings, they kind of like, we're going to do cool fairy wings, you know? So, you know, they're just normal looking people otherwise, but they are fae folk, right? So they're all fairies that go to the school, and sort of the premise of this is the fire fairy, you know, and it's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm forgetting the names of the characters. But anyways, the fire fairy, she, you know, thinks she's a normal human that somehow has the ability to manipulate fire. But then it turns out that she is, like, a fairy that was left with human parents, you know. So she's, like, you know, this magical being that was left in our world. And, you know, there's lots of different worlds, and the school that they're at is in another world, you know, and so she comes to the school, and she realizes that her parents are not really her parents, and that, you know, something happened to her parents, and, you know, the, you know, sort of the Dean Dumbledore type of character, she is this, woman that, you know, is, like, the head of the school, right? So she's the headmaster of the school, and the main character thinks the headmaster of the school is, like, hiding something from her, and so, you know, goes snooping around and stuff like that. So it's very Harry Potter in that way, but
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's also, I don't know if it's just because Netflix, you know, gave them a little bit of money, but not a whole lot of money, but it has this really funny, like, thing going on where literally there's only three faculty members at the school, and my wife and I, watching this thing together, kept commenting on the fact that there's only three faculty, and literally there is, like there is the headmaster, right, the Dumbledore type of character. And then there's the Defense Against the Dark Arts kind of teacher. He's the, you know, swordsman teacher. So in this world, by the way, the fairies all are doing magic. And they also have these other fairies that don't do magic that have weapons. And so the idea is that a magic using fairy is with a warrior fairy and they battle evil that way. You know what I mean? Like the swords people back up the magic people and the magic people back up the swords people. So anyways, the sword teacher, for lack of a better word, he's the other faculty member and he's, you know, Barrow from Downton Abbey. So once again, I'm blanking on his name, the guy that played Barrow in Downton Abbey. He is the dark arts teacher, kind of. And then finally, you have, you know, the equivalent of that, you know, horticulture teacher. So the one that, you know, in Harry Potter, they all pull up like mandrake and the mandrakes are squealing and there's that teacher there. That's like that teacher. So you have like the botany teacher, the dark arts teacher, and the headmaster, and that's it. Like literally there's no other faculty at the school, you know. Like I really find it kind of funny because like literally there is like like a strange lack of faculty, you know. And my wife and I thought this lack of faculty was because it was filmed during the pandemic. Like we literally had to figure out if this was filmed during the pandemic because, you know, why do you only have like three teachers at the whole dang boarding school? I mean, this is like Harry Potter like school, you know, and this is like college, right? So it's like an analog for college. I don't know any college that has like three people, you know what I mean? Three faculty members, like three teachers for the whole college, you know? Like that part was really funny. And it even got funnier at the end because, so anyways, there's this old headmaster that the current headmaster has locked in her office because she's evil or something like that. And, you know, at the very end of the season, the evil headmaster is released by, you know, the main character. And the reason is because the, you know, adult characters are not telling the you know, student characters the whole truth, right? So they're keeping secrets from them, but they're doing it in sort of like, we're keeping secrets to protect you. We don't want you to, you know, go off and get yourself killed. So we're not telling you the truth. And of course, that gets them to investigate on their own and then release the evil headmaster from hiding because, you know, they, you know. But anyway, so the evil headmaster gets released and then kills the good headmaster. So the, you know, Dumbledore bites it at the end of the first season. That's kind of the way to think about it. But there's this really funny line where it's like, the good headmaster is like, well, all the faculty are on board or have been informed or something like that. And it's like, well, you mean the two other people that aren't, you know what I mean? And even then, like, something had happened to one of the other faculty. So it's like, so the one other guy that isn't, you know, like, it was just so amusing, that line, knowing that there's only three faculty. So, you know, if you could get past the fact that there's only three teachers at this entirely large school, you know, I mean, and we're literally talking like Hogwarts here. Like, it's a pretty big school. There's enough people there that you think there would be more than three people. Aside from the three faculty, you know, thing. And once again, I think that's a budget thing. Like, I don't know, at least if I were doing the series, I would have got some, because they had plenty of, like, you know, student extras. Like, they had a whole slew of students there in almost every scene, and they could have had some adult extras, you know, to play, like, faculty members, like, you know what I mean? Like, even if they didn't plan, you know, well, we're gonna have a bunch of other faculty members come in, you know, the second season of this, you know, even if they had planned that, you know, they could have, like, at least had their presence be known. But, yeah, the fact that there was, like, three adult characters was kind of funny. But, you know, it was good overall. I mean, you know, what I really enjoyed was, you know, the roommates, the main, you know, student characters. There was, you know, these different... Once again, there was the earth fairy, the water fairy, the mind fairy, and the light fairy, and they're all roommates, and they eventually get together, like, you know, in the way that these series do best, where you have these people that come from different walks of life, but they all have to band together in the end to defeat the the bad thing, and they all ultimately, you know, even though they have their differences and their fights and their disagreements, they all get together in the end. Like, I don't know, I'm a sucker for that sort of getting the party together. You know, maybe it's a, you know, playing D&D or something like that. I don't know, but I really did enjoy that aspect of it. You know, the love interest was a little lackluster. You know, the main fairy had this other sword dude that she was really interested in, and there was this whole thing about his the Barrow, you know, having killed his dad. You know, he didn't know that Barrow killed his dad. It was sort of like a big reveal that his dad sort of went off the deep end and was going to kill a bunch of people, and so Barrow, like, killed his dad to protect, you know, these people. So that was sort of the reveal, but, you know, that character that, like, is dealing with that, just, like, he has this really funny scene at the end where he's just kind of sitting there, you know, for the longest time, you know, thinking and brooding about this moment, and I don't know, it was kind of a wooden moment, you know, and then sort of really spot on for his very sort of like very rigid and wooden and kind of boring character. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. I felt like there was so much lost potential in that. And I'm not sure, you know, if it was the writing or the acting or maybe they're holding their cards too close to their chest. You know what I mean? But it felt like he had just very strange reactions to everything that happened, you know, to his character. So, you know, just kind of odd. And then, you know, this one character who was the villain, she was the Wind Fairy. She was kind of the villain of the series and sort of working with the headmaster to try and free her. And she was pretty cool, actually. Like, she was like a good villain character, you know, and they locked her in a cage for a lot of it, you know, and I don't know, I felt there were some kind of structural things where, like, some of the characters that could have had more potential just kind of got locked down a little bit, you know, but overall it was enjoyable, and perhaps a lot of that structural stuff was something that, you know, they don't want to give away everything in the first season, so they're going to go ahead and take care of it during the second, you know. So, you know, overall, I would say if you're looking for a show that kind of has some fun, magical stuff and, you know, kind of a, you know, poor man's Harry Potter, you know, you can't afford Harry Potter, so you get this. it's great. It's good fun. But if you're looking for, you know, the next Harry Potter, well, you know, I don't necessarily think it's quite there. So yeah, overall, it is enjoyable and worth the time, and it's on Netflix, so it doesn't cost you a thing to watch it. All right, well, that is it. So, you know, the next time, you know, you're in an inferno and your emotions start making the inferno go more, well, maybe you should do something different so you don't, you know, burn everything down. That's my advice for tonight. All right, well, have a good night. Thank you for listening.